following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
This is the chapter in the Gospel of John that contains the famous words, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." There's few things that move us more than someone giving up their life for another person. In fact, sacrifice itself is very moving, that somebody would give up something for some greater good. It's something that has its roots in God, but it's also very human. I'm not too sure how much other creatures sacrifice, give up something in the present for some sort of reason that has to do with the future. But while some of us have a hard time with sacrificing, of course, for most of us, not talking about the literal sacrifices that we read about in the Bible that's still done in many places of the world today. But, you know, some people have trouble giving up what they have for any reason. For others of us, it's a very common thing to do. And today, we remember those who gave their lives, those who were willing to do so, and many, many others who actually did that others, such as ourselves, would enjoy a good and better life. Sacrifice is one of the first activities we see in Scripture. We encounter it explicitly in Genesis chapter 4 in the story of Cain and Abel, the first two brothers, Adam and Eve's sons. One gave an offering from the produce of the ground, the other gave an offering from the flock. And I don't want to get into what went wrong between those brothers this morning, but it is interesting that here they were, the first two offspring of the human family, and they were sacrificing. Sacrifice in the Bible is assumed. It's not explained. In fact, there's many things that are like that in the Bible that actually causes some Bible readers some discomfort because we want everything explained to us. And that's something that I'm trying to do this morning because our topic is why sacrifice? Trying to get to the bottom of why do humans do that? Why do we give up? And again, not everybody does this, but many of us do. And I think all of us value the idea that we would give up something that others would benefit. Why do we do that? Many of us take it for granted. But why? We live in a day that's become so self-oriented. Get what you can while you can get it. There was a song many years ago, Look Out for Number One. I know selfishness has been around since the beginning, but it seems that it's taken on, selfishness is now experienced at such great levels where you're expected very often to do what's best for yourself. So why sacrifice? Why give up something of what you have, let alone your own life, for the benefit of any other greater good, be it another person or God? We have a hard enough time these days giving up for ourselves for something that will better our own lives. There's a famous psychological test. You can look it up. It's called the marshmallow test. They do this with four-year-olds where they put a child in a room and they put out on the table a marshmallow. And they say to the child, if you can sit here and not eat that marshmallow, I will come back in a few minutes and I'll give you two marshmallows. If you eat that marshmallow, you won't get any more. And then you get to see different children and how they struggle with the marshmallow. And at this point, I think some people are wired more one way than the others. They're not necessarily. A four-year-old may or may not have been taught how to wait for something better in the future. But it seems that people are more wired that way. And I've seen that. I've seen that even with our own children. The difference is some are more naturally generous. Some are naturally more protective of what they have. And in this room, I'm sure that's the experience of us all. Some of us, giving the shirt off our back sort of thing is almost the natural thing to do. Asking people over, or even maybe some of you paid for the person, there's a thing now where people will pay for the person in the drive-thru. These sorts of things. Some people love being generous. And others, it's far more difficult. And I'm not criticizing one or the other. I'm emphasizing simply that for human beings, we seem to be driven one way or the other. At the same time, I think we all appreciate the fact that people would give up something that they have for something better in the future or better for other people. And so it's, you know, why do people sacrifice? Well, I think there's mixed motives. If I was able to do a poll of every sacrifice that's ever been given, be it the offering of an animal or the giving of money or the giving of one's life, my guess is that the main motive would probably be a superstitious one. That if I give something, a sacrifice, then something really good's going to happen to me. I better my chances. And so as far as we understand, people of ancient times would give some of their produce in order to, that the perhaps the gods would favor them with rain or and good crops. That and I think people still do that today. Sadly, actually. Misguidedly, I believe. You know, if we, those of us who take time to read the Bible and pray every morning, are we doing it to get to know God better? Are we doing it because God longs to spend time with us? Do we do it because it's better for us and for everyone else? Or do we think it will have a better day if we spend time with God in the morning, which is more of a superstitious approach to it? I've come to believe, I think so, that's why some people, Christians, go to church. They a lot of us would never say it would make us lucky, but I think that is some of the motive. For others, it's an act of service. It's an act of love. I've already mentioned that our approach to the giving up of what we have, how some of us are more inclined one way or the other, is, it might just be a matter of personality. But it seems to me, though, especially the way we will respond to the sacrifice of others, even if it's not for us personally, we hear stories of the firefighter running into the burning building to save people and dies in the process. Most of us know that this person was a hero. Most of us don't go, "What a fool. He had so much more life to live. He had kids of his own at home. Why in the world did he run into that burning building?" Now, of course, there are safer ways to save people, and there we need to be wise about that sort of thing. But we don't tend to think of people who give of their time, their energy, and money for a greater good. We don't tend to think of those people as fools. Even the most selfish among us are able to recognize that these people are heroes. Well, why, though? Why? If there was no God, if we live in a world that just made up of stuff, a material world, what difference does it make if we're generous, if we sacrifice, or if we instead hoard as much as possible for ourselves? What difference does it really make if there's no meaning to life, if there's no God who made us and whom we serve, if love is simply something that we've imagined in our heads? I believe that even in our day where theoretically people more and more believe that we are the product of chance, that if you ask them, if you talk to them philosophically, more and more people do believe we live in a meaningless, impersonal universe. And yet, those same people are moved by acts of bravery and sacrifice. Why? Why does that resonate with us? Well, I believe, scripturally speaking, it goes back to God himself. I've heard people muse over, why did God create the world? Because the Bible doesn't tell us, I don't think. It's one of those other things that's assumed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In spite of that, you may have heard sermons where preachers have postulated that God was lonely. God is love, and he wanted people to love, and so he created people to love. I have my own theory. I think my theory is grounded in Scripture in an overall sense. And it's not so much as a why, what motivated God, but I think God as creator is a reflection of God's character, an aspect of his character. And that is, God created because he's generous. God creates, and he creates a vast universe. I don't have any reason to believe that God had to do it. He did it because he wanted to. And in his own desire, he created a fabulous universe and a fabulous planet that we call Earth. He called Earth. And this fascinating, creative experiment called human beings, created in his image, reflections of himself to represent him on earth for his purposes. Knowing what we do about God, he possibly could have done whatever he was doing by himself, but he didn't do that. Of course, we never know what would have happened. We only know what did happen. And what happened was, is he created the world in which we live, and we get to participate in the life of God and what God does and who he is. We get to share that with one another and others. We get to experience life. It wasn't our idea. Something that used to freak me out as a child. I could still picture myself lying on my bed thinking about consciousness. I didn't know that's what it was called. And I would lie there thinking about how I only know about life and myself and everything because I exist. And if I didn't exist, then, oh my, that would just blow my mind. We share awareness, life, and this adventure that we've been called into, and all of us we all at one point did not exist. And then we were given a gift. And maybe your life to you does not feel like a gift. And there have been times where maybe you would have rather you didn't exist in the first place, because life has been so hard and so painful. Maybe life was wonderful at some point and became painful. Maybe life was painful and became wonderful. We do not get to choose any of this. Certainly some of our suffering is our own doing. But the fact that we get to participate in this, whatever it is that God is doing, is a gift of God's generosity. And sacrifice is ultimate generosity. It's the giving of something that we have without the expectation that we're going to get something back. It's giving up. It's whatever our net worth is. If we look at our lives and add up all that we have, from everything from our physical health and energy to what we own, whatever it might be, minus the debts, and then we come out with something that makes up our wealth, and we are all wealthy to some degree because we're living. And we take some of that and we give it away. And whether it's our time, our energy, money, or our goods, We allow ourselves to be a little discomforted because we have to care for somebody else. Whatever that sacrifice might look like, sacrifice is an expression of generosity, and generosity is core to the very character of God himself. Now, not all generosity is necessarily sacrifice, because some people give just, and it doesn't mean much to them because of whatever that is. Some people, it's time. You can give up your time. It's actually no sacrifice for some people. Other people, giving up time is huge sacrifice. The same thing with money or energy. But much generosity is sacrifice. And this giving of ourselves, our time, our energy, our goods, money, is connected to our primary calling as human beings. And I don't get tired of reminding us of this because I think it's something that has been forgotten both in the church and outside of the church, that primarily we were called to be stewards of this planet. God created Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1 to rule over the planet and take care of it and to take care of the world in which we live, and in the big and little ways we might do that within our own families and neighborhoods and communities, or with our children, with our parents, whatever it is, we all have a part to play in serving God's purposes on this earth. And so if we are first and foremost servants, that means we were designed to be otherly. We were designed to not think about self first and foremost. And there are people that go overboard and don't take care of themselves at all. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how primarily we were created to be servants of God, to make a difference in the world in the various ways he's called that to be. God's plan of salvation for planet Earth gets rolling in Genesis 12 when he calls Abraham, an elderly, childless man who's called to move from one part of the world to another part of the world. And God promised to bless him and his descendants, even though at the time he and his wife could not have kids. But he was going to be blessed by God to be a blessing. And as we are restored to God through the Lord Jesus, we have been brought into that Abrahamic call to be blessed, to be a blessing. God wants to pour out his goodness upon us so that we would share that goodness with others. And so sacrifice is an expression of generosity. It's giving, the giving that we're called to do. Now, when we use the word sacrifice, I think most people hear the losing of something, the giving up of something. It's some sort of negative with a positive slant. To sacrifice is to give up. But actually, it's simply giving. It's about what we're giving, not what we're losing. Sacrifice is not about what we're losing. It's about what we're giving. Because life is supposed to be about the higher and greater purpose than self. My plan is, God willing, we're going to talk about this more next week. I'm going to look at giving. And at the very, one of the foundations of our call to give is the fact that we've been promised by God through Jesus that he would take care of our needs. The Lord's not looking that we would so give up ourselves in this sort of nothingness, belittling way. He wants us to understand actually how rich we are so that we can be generous. We've been called to a greater purpose than ourselves, and we've been given the resources to do that. And that might be difficult to image. We think of Remembrance Day, people who've actually died that others might live. And if we'd be honest, we might wonder, what's the point? Yes, there are heroes, but really? Yet Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 25, For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. It's been a long time since, I didn't do it very often. I remember going to friends' homes after church, and I can't remember exactly where this was, but their custom in their home after at least Sunday dinner, maybe they did other times of the week, is they had one of those promise boxes. And maybe some of you still have at home a little promise box where there's verses from the Bible of God's promises to you. Well, this is a promise. But I don't know how many people would pull the first half of Matthew 16:25 as the promise to count on for that day. For those who want to save their life will lose it. If our passion in life is to preserve ourselves, if our goal in life is to get what we could get and avoid sacrifice at all costs, Jesus guarantees we will lose our lives. Guaranteed. And I do not believe that this is a promise just for the believer. Oh, believers, faithful ones of God, if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. This is a promise and a guarantee to all people. If our motive in life is self-preservation, you will be dead even if you're alive. That is not living. No matter what the commercials say, no matter what the pop songs say, no matter what your mom said, it doesn't matter. Jesus said that those who want to save their life will lose it. And if we're honest, we know that those times in our lives where we've dug in our heels and we have focused on ourselves and we've tried to protect ourselves from the things going on around us because it was too scary, the sacrifice was that being asked of us was too great, we know that at that point we began to shrivel up and die. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Notice there's a middle here. There's those who give their lives for other things. We're not told about those people in that verse, because there are people that are sacrificing themselves for other reasons. Maybe not for self, could be for other causes. We know from Scripture that really it's one or the other. Either we're going to live for self and the causes that self calls for, or we're going to give ourselves the purposes of God and Jesus. And the way Jesus speaks about it here in terms of following him is losing our lives for his sake. But what a complicated, maybe difficult to understand, positive statement. Jesus isn't just calling us to die. He's not looking for meaningless minions who are going to run off the cliff for his purposes. And it's not like God has his clipboard and is looking for people who are just willing to die for him and watches them go over the cliff. You know, check, you're good, check, you're good, check, you're good, check, you're good. Oh, there goes another one right off the cliff. Splat. Yay, another one. That's not what he's talking about here. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Jesus' desire is that human beings made in the image of God would find their lives. He's not looking for us to kind of like shrivel up and die as meaningless nothings. He's looking that we would find ourselves in him. And he knows that when we live for self, that's the awful death-like life with no future. But a life that is full of his goodness and reward and riches and healing and blessing is a life that's willing to give up themselves for him and for his purposes. The scripture in no way nobilizes death in and of itself. Often Christians would make it seem that way, that giving up one's life is so noble. The Bible tells us that death is an enemy. Death is not a good thing. Death is a bad thing. Jesus came to conquer death, not to, I can't think of the word. He didn't come to beautify it. He didn't come to tell us that death isn't so bad after all. Death is horrible. Death is bad. It's not natural. Death exists because of sin, and Jesus came to conquer death. Death itself is not a noble cause. It's life that we've been called to live. Jesus died the death that he died because the life that he lived. It's what he gave himself to that resulted in the horrible, unjust execution that he experienced on our behalf. Sacrifice is not about dying. Sacrifice is about living. It's what you're giving, not what you're losing. And for some people, it might mean an untimely death. And thankfully, we know that death is not the end for the believer, that there is a life everlasting on the other side. There's a resurrection that we are anticipating. In fact, our hope of the Lord's return, of the resurrection, the Bible tells us, purifies us. We have much to look forward to. This is not all there is. There is much more. And so we can risk death because we know that there's greater life on the other side. But death in itself is not the goal. Life is the goal. A certain kind of life. A life that's willing to say no to our preferences. A life that's willing to say no to our comforts. A life that's willing to say no to our own personal goals. A life that's willing to say, oh God, I'm willing to do whatever you're calling me to do. That others are more important than myself. You will take care of me so I can take care of others and give myself in so many ways of in generosity. And we have the privilege of those who are living at this moment in history. We can look back at what Jesus has done for us. He's the great example of a life lived not for self. Nobody lived such rich a life as he did. His life was not just a preparation for death. His miracles and teachings were not just the warm-up for the crucifixion and resurrection. He came to show us what a life well-lived really is. A life that hears the voice of God and shares the truth with other people and upsets the status quo and draws people to God and restores them and helps them. And shows them that there's nothing to be afraid of if we're willing to give ourselves to God's good purposes, even if it might kill us. His generosity should lead us to be generous ourselves in whatever way that's called for. On Remembrance Day, we remember those who have given themselves on the battlefield. It's not an experience that I've had. I've seen the movies. We watched a little video. There are people here that understand this full well. Others of us know nothing about that kind of life. But we're all called to give of ourselves. There probably would be a good time sometime I should address war and military things. How are we to understand as Christians, as people who believe God's word, how does that fit into life? And maybe for some people, seeing the images we saw earlier was difficult. We don't really understand how that fits into the Lord's teaching about turn the other cheek and loving your enemy. And maybe we should look at that sometime. It's difficult to criticize, as some are doing today, the sacrifice that others have done when we get to live in such a wonderful country that we live in today and the freedoms that we have because others have sacrificed in this way. This is not the day to analyze that, but to be grateful. It's not a day to analyze that, but maybe ask the question, how am I called to sacrifice? And maybe there are people here that are thinking, I've done enough. I've done my bit. Well, I don't think you're called to do the bit that you did when you did the bit that you did, however small or big that was. Some people have paid a heavy price of living already. But what is God calling us to do today? How is God calling us to be generous today? Because it's not the same as he was calling us to do yesterday or last year or 20 years ago. Paul's words in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, in response to all that God has done for us, is as relevant today as it's ever been in our lives. Where he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable worship or service. Because of all that God has done for us, from the beginning in giving us breath to live in this incredible planet, to the fact that Jesus died for our sins and has given us new life through his resurrection, what's our response? We need to be generous. We need to give of what God has given to us in the variety of ways that he's calling us to do. And we have every reason to be grateful and to give some of what God has given to us, to others, in the ways that he's calling us to do. Let's pray. Our Father, you have given to us so much. We thank you for your generosity, for your sacrifice. We have benefited so much by what you have done. Father, help us, especially those of us that perhaps are thinking that we're poorer than we are. We look at our health, we look at our bank accounts, and they don't seem to be very impressive. But as long as we have breath, Lord, we have something to share. And you're not asking us, telling us to give that which we do not have. You're calling us to give of what we do have. And while we have breath, we have our lives to first and foremost give to you and then to share with others. Would you open our eyes to see how we are to do that today and in the days ahead? Lord, others have sacrificed for us in so many different ways. People who we never knew, as we think of the soldiers who gave themselves in battle to protect this country and our lives. For them we are grateful. But so many others have sacrificed for us. Parents, children, friends, strangers. And we thank you. We thank you for how they reflect your generosity to us. And so, Lord, help us to reflect that same generosity to others. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.